Today's reading is from Numbers 9, 15 to 23. On the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening it was over the tabernacle, like the appearance of fire, until morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. At the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out, and at the command of the Lord they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, and when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by Moses. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you again. Thank you for your welcome. Thank you for your music this morning, which really inspired me. And thank you for your fellowship. We're continuing a series on aliens and strangers. Just to be clear, we're not aliens and strangers with God. We belong with his family, as we had that first sentence in our service. But we are spiritually aliens and strangers in a world without God that we're now passing through. And on my first Sunday sermon, I talked about beginning as disciples, first steps. And then in an evening service, I believe, we looked at temptation during our walk, the journey. And then last time, continuing to the finish. And this time it's moving on, the moving tent. Let's just ask for God's help in prayer. Before we start, Lord God, as you commanded your people of old under Moses, and as you still guide your church by your Holy Spirit, help us to know your calling, that we may be ready to obey, and teach us to know the risen Christ as our commander and Lord. Amen. I hope that many of you have experienced camping at some time in your life. It will help as we consider the moving tent. Can I just ask for a show of hands if you have ever lived under a tent or perhaps even stayed in a mobile home or a caravan? Anyone done that? I think that's more than half. Well done. I used to do walking holidays when I was young, walking through the Scottish Highlands, and I carried a lightweight tent on my back. And it was strange how, as I walked, I felt a growing compulsion and pressure to keep on moving. Constantly the feeling, don't waste a moment, I must make some more miles. And the feeling of being on the move can lead to a kind of compulsion. Well, we're looking at the book of Numbers today, which has been called the book of journeys. You remember they had this tent of worship, the tabernacle, and it was made according to a very detailed pattern of instructions. Our old English Bibles use the word tabernacle for that. The worship centre of travelling Israel. Tabernacle simply means tent. So by definition, this worship centre that they had was mobile. That's what a tent is for. It had to continually get up and go. Every time that God's cloud of guidance moved on, the modern versions say they set out, the people set out. The King James Bible says they journeyed, is one word in the Hebrew, very expressive word in the Hebrew. It basically means to pull up. You pull up the pegs, the fixings of the tent. We have an expression in English, to up sticks. Have you heard of that expression? They broke camp. And I love the today's English version of this. They would move on. Now, this tent of worship, the tabernacle, is a picture or a symbol of many things. And among those symbols, I just want to pick out one or two today, and particularly first, the idea of mobility. The place of worship is mobile, moving on. It's a picture of Christian worship, too. The focus of our spiritual life and prayer in the midst of our journey through life. Now, here you have not a tent, but a building that is loaned or rented to you. So in a way, this is also temporary because it's not yours, not a permanent temple. Sometimes even we meet and we pray in homes. Please remember that our worship centre is the place of the presence of God. God is found, he resides in the heart of our worship. Whatever our surroundings, whether they're stone, brick, canvas, or the open air, God is here among us when Christians worship together. So this is not a theatre, it's not a place of entertainment. This is the place where God meets with his people, he shares his glory and love, his listening ear, his teaching word, his heart-reviving power. That means that during our services it's not appropriate to unpack your picnic or open your coffee flask or have a quick cigarette. We are to recognise that God, even though he is not limited to the finest permanent building, nevertheless is constantly on the move among us, and he's telling us that we may at any time have to up sticks, move on. For illustration, of course, Martin Rees Williams has had the signal to up sticks and move away. But God, with his cloud of glory, is wherever his people gather and recognize him and worship him. And so today's tent or tabernacle here is just as full of the glorious presence in Christ as at any time over the last 25 years of LEC. He's present among our worship. Another thing that follows this is that your serving and your worshiping will be flexible. It's not set in stone. The mobility is not only of place, but of changing people, changing situations and dynamics, not forgetting a change of an unbelieving world around you. And so we will need to be ready for changes of programme, different responses, new songs. We need to train ourselves to be ready with new answers to the changing questions of those outside. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit to help us, that dynamic inspirer to guide us with his wisdom, so we can speak the word of the unchanging Christ to a world in flux. At the centre of our worship, then, there is the living God who moves us on and helps us and equips us for new challenges along the way. A second meaning to this tabernacle of Israel is found in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8:2 speaks of the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. The true tent here means the person who was pointed towards, indicated by the Old Testament tent, the one who fulfilled the symbol and is the real and intended tent. And in the New Testament, the new worship tent, of course, is Jesus. Hebrews 9:11, Christ went through the greater and more perfect tent of his body, that is not man-made, not a part of this creation. The body is seen and spoken of as a tent sometimes in the New Testament. There's an example you may remember in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, I'm teaching you these things as long as I am in this tabernacle, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. He could feel heaven calling him. And then, of course, famously in John chapter 1, John's prologue, the Word, that is, Jesus, was made flesh and tented among us, literally in the Greek. He tented among us and we saw his glory. Of course, echoing the glory of the bright cloud in Exodus and Numbers, resting on the tabernacle of Moses. So Jesus is the new tent with the new glory. He's the residence, the dwelling place of God, through whom we are accepted and through whom we worship. Now, what does that tell us about being Christians? Well, it tells us that in our approach to God, The means of entry is the mediator, the one through whom we come to the Lord, Jesus, the divine Son. So he is the way in. As our high priest, he introduces us to the Father's presence and favour, because of course he died for our sins and took them out of the way. And in that case, we can only possibly live in the tent of God, the house of God, in accordance, in as far as we live in Christ and relate to him. The only way to worship truly is to be walking with Jesus, constantly in his presence. There's a song that expresses the approach, which I think you know. As we are gathered, Jesus is here, joined by the Spirit, washed in his blood, part of the body, the church of God. Hebrews again speaks of that washing and purification through Christ, picturing it in baptism and then in constant spiritual experience. Hebrews 10, having our hearts sprinkled from a bad conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And that purification, of course, we remember regularly in the service of Holy Communion, where it speaks about our souls being washed, our inner beings washed through his most precious blood. So by grace, through faith, in Christ, we are made clean and fit to enter the holy place, our Father's tent. So there's another hidden meaning of this tabernacle. It speaks of the Son of God, the second tent, who invites us to believe and to travel with him. And in our daily praying, we should be saying to God, Father, let me walk this desert journey in fellowship with your Son. Please wash me and purify me again today. May I live the life of his gospel, finding forgiveness and fellowship through his blood shed once for all. There's still more meanings to the tabernacle to open up. The tent of worship will also be a picture of the New Testament church, which was to follow. More often, the New Testament church is called a temple, but it is also called a tent. We can usefully think of the church as a tabernacle. As we look back to Numbers 9, verse 15, and there's a phrase that helps us. It says the tabernacle there was the tent of testimony, or the tent of witness. The church today is God's residence on the move as a witness of what God has done. Like the tabernacle in Numbers, the church is a kind of sacramental sign. This assembly and community is the living sign that God has acted in history, in rescue, forgiving sins and calling a people together, a people on the move. So we are a witness that God is alive through Christ. The church is to bear witness to that saving power as the saved people on whom the glory rests now. We are to be the light shining in the darkness, like Israel's pillar of fire, the sign, the pointer to the Holy Spirit in his presence, God's light to us. And you remember when we come to the New Testament, there's that miraculous sign at Pentecost of the flames of fire resting on the disciples. Now, a few practical thoughts follow from this line of thought about the tent. We ask the question, well, what is the central activity of the church, this desert camp in Numbers? And it is, in fact, the maintaining of worship, keeping the sacrifices going, festivals, the care of the central shrine, the lampstand and the showbread, and so on. And when verses 19 and 23 refer to the Lord's command, actually, we do better to understand with, in fact, in the ESV version that you have, we understand that as keeping the charge, keeping the worship in the tabernacle going. And so, likewise for us, it's essential and our duty as a church to keep the worship going. Of course, there are exceptions, occasional cancellations, but basically we need to keep the charge of the services, the festivals, the prayers, the Sunday worship, the witness of the people of God coming together in fellowship. And so it is a Christian priority to gather and to share in worship, keep the flame of love and adoration burning, because we are a tabernacle of witness. And when Hebrews 10 tells the Christians not to neglect meeting together, it's because this is the tent of witness, this church. At the same time, we have to keep remembering the fact that the tent is on a journey and on the move, which is a reminder to us not just to rely on the routines of services. We mustn't get static in our worship thinking. Don't get into a thoughtless routine and in a rut. There's a useful illustration from Australia that helps us understand that rut, which is from the road conditions in large parts of Australia, where they're not surfaced as our roads are, and there are huge distances. After bad weather, the road surfaces can be very poor and become rutted, deep tracks. And you may see a warning sign, choose your rut carefully. You will be in it for the next 35 miles. That is a warning for our worship. If worship ever becomes a boring routine, then that is a denial of God's charge to us. And then we will need to move things on and bring some changes so that the witness is alive and attractive. And so I was very glad to see last Sunday that you had a time of free prayer in the service. You had a change. It gave us a shake, didn't it? It woke us up and it stopped us relying on the routine. And a question for us about the moving tent. Looking at the reading today at Numbers, would you say that the life of the church will be smooth and beautiful, regularly contentment will abound? No opposition and no troubles? Well, if you think not, I'm glad of that, because there were many trials and troubles for Israel and for that fellowship that was travelling. And we too are crossing a desert, which means that we will be missing many things we would like to have. There are the enemy tribes going to try and refuse us passage, enemies to the gospel. It's sometimes hard work, sweaty, discouraging, and we know that behind our enemies is the opposer, Satan, who's urging the world to clash with us. There will be many trials and troubles, and we will need to stand together and have regular prayer meetings and encourage the doubters, correct the grumblers, and face up to conflicts with firmness and the Holy Spirit's determination. That is the life of the Church of the Tabernacle, a New Testament church. Fourth and last, another interpretation of the tabernacle, which is you and me, the individual Christians. We are the tabernacle in miniature. We've had that quote from Peter already, remember? The Lord has shown me that I must put off this tent. In the old Anglican church of my youth, we would look to the end of our Christian journey and we would sing a hymn that I don't suppose anybody here knows. Forever with the Lord, amen, so let it be. And then the words, absent from him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent a day's march nearer home, by the great hymn writer James Montgomery. Now you, of course, are a largely expatriate church, so you will know all about what it means for the Christian to be mobile, and many of you have travelled a lot. It's possible, unfortunately, some of us may have travelled for the wrong reasons, and I think I may have been at fault in this myself. Sometimes it's because we lack endurance or stickability, we have itchy feet, and the grass on the other side of the fence is always greener. Pray about that if you think that might be your problem. But others of us are the opposite. We're never ready for a change. We are real stick in the muds. And so we need to pray for flexibility. There was a vicar who lived near to my place years ago, who was a great preacher and a soldier of the Lord. And he reached 70 years old, and his bishop happened to meet him and said to him, James, when are you going to think about retiring? And the man replied, Michael, when the time comes and the Lord tells me to move on, you will be the first to know. He was aware, he was ready for the move. He knew that we are here for as long as God puts us and that we are to be ready to move on when he wants. And incidentally, the life of our journeying teaches us not to try to hang on to the past. And as we get older, the temptation is to consider that life is only going downhill over the later years. I'm looking around at a younger congregation here, but knowing human nature, I can close my eyes and I can hear the words, your language, in 40 years' time from now, and you'll be saying, I remember the days of Martin Reeks Williams. We really knew how to pray in those days. We had real songs that you could sing, not this modern rubbish. Those were the days. Yes, we've heard it all before. If you ever feel yourself thinking like that, then shake yourself, because we're getting into negativism there, aren't we? God is calling us to move forward with him, and his call is to know him and to grow in holy living, serving Christ in new ways. So set your eyes on the brighter future, constantly moving nearer to him. So there we are. We've looked at four symbols of the tent, the worship centre, the person of Jesus, the church and its witness, our individual life. And we live in an I world, the world of individualism. So I beg you not to cast your anchor on a seabed of selfishness in this. Anchor yourself to the tabernacle, the moving tent. Keep the charge. Keep attending the Sunday by Sunday services, the Holy Communion. Keep your personal devotional times going, morning and evening prayer, the prayers. Hold on to the congregation, the people. This is where God lives, the people of God's love, where he reveals himself and where you will find him. And then keep in touch with the presence of the Saviour himself. Keep up step for step with the Lord who leads you. He's the moving tent. Don't get sleepy and slow and then static and then left behind. Remind ourselves every day, he's on the move. Am I ready, praying, watching for God's opportunities? Am I willing to step forward to answer his new challenges and new direction? Here am I, send me, and let go of the past. Let's close with prayer. Lord our God, where would we go beyond your presence, which is eternal? We thank you and praise you for coming near to humanity in the Messiah, Jesus. In your mercy, make us a bright and bold church, a people of witness. We pray that you will work in each of our lives, that with you we may go and forsake the old familiar shores. We pray in the glorious name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.